Good morning, Your Honors. John Kennedy for Appellant Alfonso Ocampo. This is a drug case that Mr. Ocampo was pled out to possession of cocaine. Now, the interesting part in this case, though, that takes it outside of the normal run-of-the-mill, is the safety valve application. And this case, Ocampo, was decided after Booker was in the trial court after Booker. And the question comes up, well, how does the judge have to count the points for the safety valve? And the problem that confronts everyone dealing with this is Booker says, in no uncertain terms, that the guidelines are advisory.
But it didn't change anything about the way criminal history is calculated, did it?
I agree with Your Honor. It doesn't change how the history is calculated. And in fact, I'd mentioned to the court Vega Montano, which is pre-Booker, that says the court lacks discretion to alter criminal history points. However, when one takes Booker, Booker didn't say only this sentencing guideline part is advisory, the rest are mandatory. Booker had the effect of taking the entire guidelines and saying the entire guidelines, that whole volume, is advisory.
Well, let me ask you this. The Supreme Court has consistently said that criminal history is the one area that is exempt from the requirements of decisions like Apprendi and like Booker. And in any event, even if we set aside the sentencing guidelines entirely, wouldn't the result be the same, given that the statute mandates a minimum term of 60 months, and Mr. Ocampo does not satisfy the criteria for the safety valve reduction?
But because what is being argued for Mr. Ocampo is that the guideline safety valve is what applies, what he's seeking to use.
But why is it that Congress, I want to get right to 3553F. The first part of 3553F, which obviously is a statute, says that you're going to be entitled to a sentence below the statutory minimum if, number one, the defendant does not have more than one criminal history point as determined under the sentencing guidelines. Now, if Congress had wanted to do so, it could have spelled out there the whole process of figuring out criminal history guidelines, but it didn't. It used a shorthand. It makes a cross-reference. I don't see how, when you're changing one statutory minimum for a different potential statutory minimum, which Congress certainly at the moment thinks it has the power to do that. In United States against Harris suggests that there's no change post-Booker in that. Congress has simply incorporated the guidelines process by reference, and I don't see where this allows you to have some different statutory minimum because of anything that Booker said. Booker really seems to me to be beside the point here.
Well, Justice, by the argument you're proposing, you're really taking away the effect of Booker.
Why? Only for changing statutory minima, because post-Booker, it's clear the statutory minimum is not something that Booker gave district courts discretion over. If there's a statutory minimum, they have to respect it.
Yes, and Your Honor, I will say that in my brief, I did not do a good job on that discussion. But what I'm relying on is Booker's saying that the guidelines are not mandatory, that they're advisory.
But there's not a word in Booker that addresses 3553F, and they're just a data point for 3553F. They're not mandatory or discretionary or anything else. There's a system for computing criminal history. You plug it into this five-part test, and you discover whether you can deviate from an otherwise binding statutory minimum.
Well, I think if we step away a little bit and note that in a lot of the court's district court work, it's discretion. The court has discretion to do this or that. It's only in statutory sentences where there is no discretion. And I point out the Cannon case, which was cited in an Appellee's brief, pointing out that Cannon was working on statutory mandatory minimum where there are certain prior events. 21 U.S.C., the code, incorporated the sentencing provision required in Canon. So Canon really doesn't control the problem that appears here, the problem that was created by the guidelines and the Booker decision, where, and I think this is likely to happen as time goes by with Booker, conflicts are going to be shown. And how can they have a whole volume of guidelines and by excising two sections not create conflicts? They just aren't surfacing yet. This is one of the conflicts. It appears, yes, I'll give it to the court. I agree with the court that the Supreme Court does say calculate the sentence, I can't say it right, the prior convictions are going to be,
Almendarez-Torres, I mean, there's a long line of cases about prior convictions.
Yes, but what we have also is Booker that's saying there has to be discretion. And what I'm asking is the court to give effect to both the statutory language and to the discretion of the trial court. 3553F is statutory language that it has to, the safety valve has to be met, basically. But at the same time, we have Booker saying that the guidelines are advisory. And when they're advisory, it's the appellant's position that under an advisory guidelines, the court has discretion to not count things that the court would count as de minimis. This is not asking for a departure, which I know the court's previous decisions would not allow defendants to achieve anything.
Well, and it's also inconsistent with the methodology. We, at least, maybe we're wrong. Maybe we'll find out some one of these days. But our post-Booker methodology insists on a correct ascertainment of what the guidelines require so that the district court knows what advice, quote-unquote, the guidelines are giving. That involves a correct determination of offense level and a correct determination of criminal history. We have said that the district judges can't refuse to award criminal history points just because they think it's unfair. You've got to come up with the guidelines first, then step back and figure out what an overall reasonable sentence is.
But that is all under an advisory system.
But it's not advisory about how you calculate the underlying range for the guidelines. That you still have to do in a manner that is correct and consistent with the guidelines.
Well, I think also that position is a little bit under suspicion in the sense of, is a guideline sentence entitled to deference?
Right, but I don't know of any circuit that thinks you're allowed to play around with your actual calculation of the guidelines. There's disagreement, which the Supreme Court, for all I know this morning, resolved, but one of these minutes will resolve in Rita about once you get the guideline sentence, what are you going to do with it? But I don't think anybody thinks you should manipulate what the actual recommended or advisory guideline sentence is.
Well, I simply have to return to Booker.
Sure,
I would simply
fine.
Be repeating what I have said before.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. I think, Judge Wood, that you're correct in pointing out that we're not in a scenario where there is not a binding statute. We have 3553F, which says that if you have more than one criminal history point, as determined under the sentencing guidelines, you are not eligible for the safety valve and you have a statutory minimum sentence of 60 years. As determined under the sentencing guidelines is pretty clear. The only thing I wanted to point out is appellant makes a note in his reply brief about the guideline commentary and how the commentary is what's problematic here. To go back a little bit, there were two convictions that caused this calculation. First was a DUI, which was a one-year period of supervision, which got 1 point. The defendant committed the instant offense while that case was still active, so he had an additional 2 points, which was 3 points. Those calculations could have been made without even looking to the commentary. Those calculations could have been made right at 4A1.1C, I believe. 4A1.1C and D. The driving with the license suspended is what sort of took us into commentary land about whether or not that should count as well, which it ultimately did, pursuant to the commentary. But that argument should be set aside because we are in a situation where the safety valve would not have applied even before we read the commentary. Booker is clear. It does not apply to statutory minimums. It does not apply to statutes. This opinion did not make statutes advisory, and we have not heard anything different from the Supreme Court. And as Judge Wood, you're correct, Joinder, I believe, requires that the district court still properly calculate the guidelines so they can consider that as a factor in determining an appropriate sentence. If there are no additional questions, I'd rest on the brief and ask the court to affirm the decision of the district court.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Thank you, Ms. Alicia. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Kennedy. I'm sorry. I want to go home.
No.
After finishing. How much time does... We'll give you two.
As far as this advisory, returning to that idea, Appellee argues that, well, the seem to suggest, well, maybe the commentary is advisory. And my observation is, how can you say the commentary is supposed to have the same force as the guidelines? How can you distinguish between the commentary and the guideline? And I just once again reiterate that with Booker, there has been a creation of a conflict here, and that appellant is entitled to have his statutes narrowly construed, and that it would work to his advantage. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, now we can all go home. The case will be taken under advisement. Were you court appointed?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, then, thank you so much. We really appreciate what you have done for your client.